Can't get enough wrestling talk? Well, check out Ringside Rant with top guys RJ and Justin, the kings of ranting. The new shows drop each Friday morning at 9 Eastern, and it'll take you back to the good old days of pro wrestling, but also the not so good days. Ringside Rant is available on all podcast platforms, as well as full press coverage, Wrestling with Johnners Network, and the Shining Wizards Network. You can also follow the show on Twitter @_ringsiderant. It's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. New shows drop Friday morning at 9 Eastern. That's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. A couple of top guys doing top guy stuff. It's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. New shows Friday mornings at 9 Eastern.
It's Friday. It's 9 a.m. You know what that means. Another great episode of the Ringside Rant is with you this week. And introducing your host, he is Cincinnati's favorite son, J.D. Justin Davis. And from Rochester, New York, he is the man with the magical voice, RJ. And as always, welcome to Ranters Nation. Welcome back to another great episode of the Ringside Rant. I am the man with the magical voice, RJ. He is a very well-rested JD Justin Davis. Justin, what's up, man?
What is going on, everyone? Good to be back here on another episode of Ringside Rant. Hey, what happened last night to your Yankees? Looked like the very intimidating Cincinnati Reds got them a victory last night in New York.
Well, they figured it was opposite day. They had to start the game a little bit late, so they probably were a little bit off. I figured if they started on time, they would have smoked them, but well, you can't win them all, you know?
All I got to say is that one's for you and John Alba.
Well, you can go freaking suck a railroad spike. I don't know what the hell the issue is. They beat the crap out of teams that you think they're going to get them a hard time. And then they freaking shit the bed against teams like Cincinnati that.
Well, the Reds just came off sweeping the Rays. So look out. Well,
they're hot then. No, they're hot. Well, sooner rather than later, they figure by the All-Star break, they should win a couple games.
Might get to 40 wins.
Yeah. But yeah, it's that time of the year. We're in that transition. You got training camp coming up in a couple of weeks. Actually, the Bills training camp tickets actually go on sale as we are recording tomorrow, Thursday the 14th. So I'm hoping to grab some tickets so Gavin and I can get to one of the training camps here in Rochester.
The Bengals are announcing their alternate helmet today.
Really? Do you think they're going to go the old school one with just Bengals on it?
I hope so. I hope they have those and some old throwback uniforms to go with it. But people are clamoring for the white helmet to go with the all white uniforms. But what else? I'm not a big fan of it.
But what could they do though? That's the thing. You think they could just go like keep the style that they have with the Bengal helmet now, but do it all white? You mean?
Yeah, it'd be white with black stripes.
So they can look like zebras.
Pretty much. I think the reason why they became the Bengals in the first place is because at the time, the Cincinnati Zoo was one of the only ones that had like white tigers. So it was kind of based off the white tiger anyway. So,
Hey, spin it any way you want to, man. It doesn't matter. You'll be like everybody else in the AFC. You're going to be looking up at my Bills this season. Uh-huh. So
we shall see.
Yeah, I guess we will. I'm sure I'll be crying in my freaking Cheerios soon. So, but no, man, we're continuing the march here to bash at the beach. We did 97 last week. It's 98 this week. This event actually happened 24 years ago this past Tuesday. So I don't know about you, but that makes me feel old as shit.
Yep. I was watching this show. Once I started watching this yesterday, I started remembering some of it. 1998, man, I love 1998 WCW, probably more than 1998 WWE.
Right. Well, and we're at that transition now too, where they WCW hasn't completely jumped the shark yet. They're still putting out good stuff. They're still putting out matches like we're going to see here opening up with Raven and Saturn. But it's just a matter of, okay, it's you got a little couple good things in here, and then you got a couple shitty things. And just things that you kind of just scratch your head. It's like, why the hell is this on the pay-per-view? And while some are not.
Well, speaking of why is this on the pay-per-view, we open up and Tony Schiavone is in a horrendous Hawaiian shirt.
That he probably still has.
All three announcers have on Hawaiian shirts, but Tony, because he's the worst dresser in the world, it has the worst of the three, of course. And Mike Tenay says that they've had hundreds of media requests from around the world for this show, obviously playing up to the fact that Karl Malone, who was just in the NBA Finals, is in this main event. Of course, it's the biggest event in the history of this great sport.
Yeah.
And they go to Gene, who's in a fucking sweet ass white tuxedo. And Gene tells us to call 1-900-909-9900, if you can imagine that, to open the show up. Gene Hawken is fucking hotline. And I really like the entrance setting for this pay-per-view, the beach stuff there when they come out.
No, because they kind of did the same thing year in and year out. And I think that's really, you don't see that really often now. You see, especially with WWE and AEW starting to do that as well, is they're the generic regular sets, excuse me. And then they get the whole video boards, the ramps and all that stuff, which I think you get that just because it's the way that technology is now. They want to kind of, the bigger, the better. They can save money with pyro and all that crap, even though Cody's not there. So there goes half your budget for pyro for the WWE. But it's the same sort of thing with it 98 here. It's like you're on that track where it's like, okay, what's the better show? And like I mentioned, we got Raven taking on Saturn in a Raven's Rules match. So those of you that don't know what a Raven's Rules match is, it's basically whatever Raven says goes.
Basically a watered down ECW match.
Pretty much. And that's kind of what they wanted to kind of
That's how I described this match.
Yeah.
Good match, lots of tables, watered down ECW match, WCW version of an ECW match. Raven ends up winning with the even flow. Good match, it wasn't a 5-star in the Tokyo Dome, but there wasn't anything particularly wrong with it. And I actually kind of like Raven's music with the crows squawking in the background when but yeah, good match to open the show. And this is one of the few WCW matches you'll see that had a good build, that actually had a storyline behind it. And it just wasn't a thrown together match like we see a lot of times from these guys.
You know, did you check or happen to hear Tony calling a table, a chair, and then Bobby just ripping them apart?
No, I must have missed that.
I forgot what part of the match it was. And Tony calls a table, a chair, and Bobby just rips him a new one. And I'm like, oh, that's classic Heenan though at this time and even before. But what are your thoughts overall? You know, two of the better workers, pretty much. Yeah. You can really depend on them to, you know, open the show and put on a decent match. You know, like you said, it's not going to be like a 15-star match in the Tokyo Dome, but
Saturn was really good in this match. A lot of high-flying moves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the two of them, their styles work well together.
Well, and this is at that time too, where Saturn's not in the flock anymore. They got Canyon kind of trying to get into the flock because he's not part of with Wrath anymore, and just trying to find his own way. And I just think Canyon is another one of those guys who was terribly underrated as such a great worker. And that's pretty much what you get for the first few matches, or first two matches anyways.
Canyon, you know, if you think about it, for his size, I don't know how tall he was. I'm guessing around 6'6", maybe. 6'5". Really one of the best technicians ever for his size.
Sure.
I mean, usually you see guys that can work like that or Eddie Guerrero's size or Owen Hart's size. Not as big as Canyon. Canyon could still really, really work even with being a little bit taller than normal.
He was 6'4", 270 pounds.
Okay, yeah.
Build that anyways, whether that happens or not. And he was trained by Afa of the Wild Samoans, part of him.
So we get done with the first match there, and Gene comes out once again in that sweet-ass white tuxedo. I mean, he is looking like he's going to have some clear ones at the bar tonight and find some poutine.
So how many white suits do you have, and will you be wearing them to Top Guy Weekend?
I have none, and that would be the last place I'd wear. That damn Eddie Prather come over, give me a hug, and spill a drink on my white tuxedo, and I'd be pissed off.
Well, at least you gave an excuse then.
We're promoting Eddie and Chavo's hair versus hair match here. And Eddie kind of gives a weird promo. It didn't seem like a regular Eddie promo. It was kind of off for some reason.
Yeah.
So we get that. And then we go right into our second match, which is Hoovy and Kidman.
So I think that I speak for every wrestling fan everywhere when I say, fuck you, Billy Kidman. You overachieving son of a bitch.
Yeah, you meth head.
Tori Wilson. Hey, easy there. Easy there. We got something a little bit later too from Brad to after we talk about this match. But
do you not want to offend our meth doing fans?
Well, I'll two of them. They don't even know that they're listening to us. So I think it's the other voices in their heads.
This is a good match. Tony is on his game in this match. I mean, Tony really got into this match and for good reason. It was a good one. Kind of feel like maybe this should have been the opener and then go to Saturday and Raven in the second match, but whatever, it's fine. Kidman misses his finisher and then gets the 450 splash and Hoovy wins. Good finish and good match.
The one thing that I found interesting about this match wasn't the actual guys in the ring, and it's prototypical of WCW fans at this time until later on. They really don't know what they're watching. Yeah. And we can start that when, you know, back a year in 97, even 96, really when the cruiserweight division really revved up. And it's just like how I get it now. It's like second nature when you see a lot of these high flying cruiserweight esque moves. It becomes second nature now because we're so used to seeing them. But in 96, 97, 98, it's like, unless you're like a diehard wrestling fan and you watch a lot of the AAA or New Japan or any type of overseas or foreign wrestling, that's all you're going to see. With this, it's like, okay, do you think that they should have kind of dialed it back a little bit to kind of play to the fans so they kind of got some sort of reaction out of them?
I mean, I don't know. To me, it was the best match on the card.
Yeah.
And what's wrong with having the best match on the card? I mean, I thought it was pretty damn good.
So Brad Stanton wants to know, do you think that Kidman's change of character was too radical or abrupt? And should they have put him in recovery first?
Well, some people can do it cold turkey, Brad. I guess that's the story they're telling here. The Kidman, you know, he just dropped the habit all of a sudden and started fixing his hair better.
Sure. I just think.
And Brad wouldn't know anything about fixing his hair better. So
him and I are in the same boat.
By the way, I saw a picture this week of Brad at his little car dealership. And it said something about Brad and Plaid. Like you've heard of Elf on a Shelf.
Sure.
Now we got Brad and Plaid.
Coming soon to your holiday wish list this year, we have Brad in Plaid.
He wore a button-down plaid, different plaid shirt every day to work that week.
Did he really?
He did.
Was that on
the gimmick? On Facebook. It was on the Facebook gimmick. So
I'm not on the Facebook.
Maybe we need to get Brad, you know, some other shirt other than plaid. Maybe some polyester is what I'm thinking.
I can hook him up with that. Bring it to Top Guy Weekend. We could get him one of those plaid onesies or something that you see you know, I think, what was it? My son used to
He would look good in plaid ones.
Oh my God. Get one of those. What do they call them? Jumpers or whatever?
No jumper.
No, I didn't even realize what I said with that. Son of a bitch. But you know, this next match here, man,
it wasn't a match.
It wasn't. It was a minute and 35 seconds. You had Stevie Ray defeating Chavo Guerrero. They really building up this Eddie versus Chavo rivalry.
So basically, Stevie Ray put him in an arm bar and Chavo gave up like really quick. The gimmick here is, so Chavo doesn't waste his energy on Stevie Ray. All he cares about is beating Eddie.
Which they're going to face later in the right after this in a hair versus hair match.
Yes. And so then Eddie comes out immediately. And at one point during this match, someone got bit on the ass. I can't remember if Eddie bit Chavo or Chavo bit Eddie.
I think it was Chavo bit Eddie.
And Bobby asked Tony if he'd ever been bit on the buttocks.
And he said, good Tony, God.
Tony no-sold that, but we all know Lois has taken a chunk out of his ass a few times.
Couple, two, three, without question.
Nice match again. Nothing wrong with this match. Eddie wins with an inside cradle at the end. Chavo goes crazy and cuts his own hair. And Eddie kind of just walks away from him like, this motherfucker's insane.
What the fuck am I going to do? So I wanted to bring up our very loyal listener, Miss Amy Vaughn, had a couple questions about this. First about the tagline.
I hope she's not cussing. I think she needs to wash her mouth out with soap.
You know, she should have her son wash up.
I volunteer Aaron to do it.
Oh, of course, without question. Have them do it. If they're coming to Top Guy Weekend, we can do it there and actually make some money off of it. You know, we can have people like put money in the pot in the hat or something and buy her a new FTR shirt or something.
Well, Aaron wants a new Rubik's Cube. I know that.
Well, there you go. She said, I can't get over the tagline for the show. Like skinny dipping in a shark tank. Someone is going to go down. What the F does that mean? I'm not going to say it. I promised her I wouldn't swear from what actually she said. So she said, what the F does that mean? It makes no sense. I would think clothing or not, if you are swimming in a shark tank, chances are you're going down and I think are equal. Or your chances of going down are equal.
Would this be better, Amy? It's like the backseat of my dad's car on prom night. Someone's going down.
There's a joke there. I'm just going to let that go. But I promised her I wouldn't say anything about that. So she also says about this hair versus hair match. Why don't we see more hair versus hair matches in current wrestling? Granted, we just saw one in AEW recently, but at one time, a hair versus hair match was a huge deal. And it's pretty much what she says. It kind of ends a feud. You know, we saw a classic one that, very near, close, and personal friend of me, mine, Brian Hebner, reffed the Edge versus Kurt Angle.
Old. I went immediately to the Adrian Adonis, Roddy Piper.
Well, that goes all the way back, though. I'm talking so people actually remember. Obviously, you know, what's his face? The Money Mike won't remember anything because he was born in like 1999 or 2000. So, God damn it.
To answer her question, I would say I don't know why we don't see it as much. Maybe guys just don't want to do it and be like, fuck that, I don't want to cut my hair.
Well, I think we don't see a lot of guys that have long hair anymore. You know, we got Adam Cole's, we got AJ Styles that have longer hair, Seth Rollins, but it's just like they don't. That's kind of like a territorial days of professional wrestling where Seth like Rollins, you brought up Adrian Adonis
to get his haircut.
The what?
Seth Rollins would be a good candidate to get his haircut because you've never really seen him with short hair. So if he were to get his haircut, I think it would go off well.
There you go. WrestleMania, Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns, hair versus hair versus title match.
There you go.
So believe it or not, and to bring that up, actually Brock Lesnar today, as we're recording on Wednesday, turned 45 today.
I dare you to cut his man bun off.
I ain't going to touch shit. But anyways, also, what I really wanted to do is give a shout out to Allison Faye. Today is her birthday as well. She's 25 years young.
Uh-huh.
So shout out to Allison as well. So
imagine if, remember when they cut Michael
PSA's
hair on the plane.
Oh, on the plane?
Imagine if they did that to Lesnar, if they cut his man bun off on the plane. He would have just picked up X-Pac or whoever did it and just threw him right out the door of the plane. Just right.
Well, but the thing is, though, now it's like, then it's like difference then. Well, one, he didn't have it then, but now it's like he has his own personal jet that he flies in from Saskatchewan or Calgary or whatever the hell he lives in Canada now. But yeah, so somebody that I love messing with is up next here. We got the Disco Fucking Inferno with Alex Wright taking on Conan, and he's flanked by Lex Luger and Kevin Nash.
Got the whole big wolf pack out there.
Yeah, so shout out to the wolf pack.
Yeah, don't turn your back on the wolf pack because you might end up in a body bag. And one thing I noticed is when the wolf pack came out, man, huge baby face pop from the crowd. This is like the height of wolf pack red powers right here. They are over like Rover as kind of the cool guys. I don't know who the hell let Luger in the group, but whatever. They demolished Disco. It's like a
thank God
squash. And I just said, you know, they are hugely over it. Well, you know, the Red NWO didn't last long, but it was big while it lasted.
Right. And, you know, Brian Remza also brings up a good point, too, here. He asks, a lot of these matches are short. Only three matches went longer than 10 minutes. To me, this show felt like an episode of Nitro. Do you enjoy seeing these short matches on a pay-per-view?
Yeah, I do, because you get to see more matches. For me, I like to see more people just to kind of remember those guys. Like, I forgot, like on this next match, Giant versus Kevin Green. I forgot that Kevin Green was even still here in 1998. Like, I don't remember him being around.
Yeah, I don't think he got traded. I don't think he got traded yet. Because he ended up going to Pittsburgh, right? No, he was in Carolina.
He was in Carolina. Then, during this last year, I think in 97 or 8, he went to the 49ers for 1 year and then went back to the Panthers.
And then retired, yeah. But to go to ask Brian, to answer Brian's question, or Brian, excuse me, I think it was perfect. I enjoy these short matches just because it was less that I have to fucking see the human garbage. I fucked up my own goddamn shit. I said it's going to be less that we get to see the human garbage disposal that is Disco Inferno.
That's true. They announced that Antoine Carr is at ringside.
So for those of you that don't know who is Antoine Carr, Justin?
Oh, yeah, pretty sure. Didn't he play for the fucking Kentucky Shit Cats?
Oh, probably. I can't.
Yeah, he's an NBA player at this time. But yeah. It's just funny to listen to like stuff in 1998 and people now watch and be like, who the fuck is Antoine Carr? But back then he was a pretty big, pretty well-known basketball player. Before he got to the NBA and sucked.
Right.
Let's see. We get a bad JJ and Jericho back and forth in the backstage before this next match. Jericho is the Cruiserweight champion. He is going to be facing Rey Mysterio. And like I said, this little promo with JJ Dillon and Jericho in the back was very... Oh, it just looked very bad acting. Mm-hmm. Just kind of weird. But this is a great match. Again, this match is a little more, you know, with Hoovy and Kidman. And I don't know. It's like a little more of the mid-card guys in this pay-per-view, more than stacking the top of it with, you know, obviously when you have the main event you don't really need to stack the top too hard. But
sure.
Now we use this beach setting here in Ray and Jericho's match. I believe there's a Hurricane Rana off the lifeguard tower, which was a pretty good spot.
Yeah.
Then Malenko comes out, distracts Jericho, and Ray wins, and he's the new champion. But that finish to me was pretty, like, I knew watching the buildup of this match that Malenko was going to come out, distract Jericho, and Ray was going to win. It's just kind of a predictable finish. I thought it was lazy booking on that at the end of that match.
Right. Yeah, no, I got that. I think they're just trying to throw it against the wall and seeing what sticks. Obviously, at this point in the cruiserweight division, because, you know, you can only do so much with Rey Mysterio and Jericho and Eddie so often, even to Malenko, too. So next match coming up is Booker T putting his TV title on the line against Bret Hart. Yeah, man. What did you think about this? Obviously, with you being a ginormous Bret Hart fan.
The match was just okay. They shit talk Bret coming out and calling him a master manipulator. Tony Schiavone really shitting on Bret, that son of a bitch. Bret's in his all black with the white trim, and Booker T is in the white pants with the flames, which I always like Booker T in those white pants. They wrestle around for a while. It's okay. Bret gets DQ'd for a chair. They're just trying to get Bret, to me, they're really trying to get Bret over as a big heel. Is a big asshole in this, and that's just kind of why it leads to him just beating the hell out of Booker with a chair. No one really comes out and helps Booker for a long time. It takes Stevie Ray a while to come out, and you even kind of think, is Stevie Ray trying to, you know, not help him? It's almost like they're trying to set something up there.
Right. And I just never understood the whole heel Bret Hart and WCW. I think they're trying to really get that heel-esque character that they saw in WWF.
Yeah.
You know, a year or two before. And it's just like, okay, I don't think that's really possible.
Yeah. It's just weird because there's no top heel spots open because you got Hogan and there's no top baby face spots open because you've got DDP, Sting, Red NWO right now. So it's really crowded on both sides. And we just saw over and over again them trying to figure out what to do with Bret and switching him face, switching him heel, you know, and just they never could figure it out.
Right.
I thought his best work, like you said, was as a baby face in WCW, probably in the next year in 99. When he was a face, was probably the best we got out of Bret. Of course, that was when Brawl came in and booked him as the champion there for a while.
Right. And that went so well. So
yeah.
Another thing that went so well is you're gonna bring up as our next match here with your WCW heavyweight champion Goldberg taking on Curt Hennig. They recapped and recalled the rise of Goldberg and him defeating Hogan for the title on Nitro. Not something that I really dug, man. A 3.5-minute match with Curt Hennig. I know it's with Goldberg and everything, but really? 3.5 minutes?
The one thing I'll say, I was listening to Eric Bischoff's show last week. I believe they did Bash at the Beach 97 as well, as we did last week. Whoever was with him, they were talking about how Kurt didn't look to be in very good shape in 97. But I'll tell you right here in 1998, Kurt looks to be in great shape. He's really got himself back into shape. You can tell. And he did get some offense in on Goldberg, which I was happy for that Goldberg at least gave him a little bit of offense during the match.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ends up, it's going to end up with Kurt in the jackhammer after a spear. Mm-hmm. And there's that. No one thought Curt Hennig was going to win the world title here.
I don't think anybody did.
I think that's why it's a 3-minute match. It's like, let's just get the title on the card and get Goldberg over big, and Kurt's the guy to do it.
Do you think being a 3.5-minute match, it really kind of made the title been looked down upon?
How Nash beat Backlund in what 5 seconds that one time to win the title.
Yeah, when he won his first title there, what it was, a 94 95 or somewhere around there. And I just, that's the only thing I took away from it. And Brian Haremza is back. And he said, this is right after Goldberg's big win on Nitro. Do you think it made sense for to have him defend the title against Kurt, or should he have had a more high profile opponent?
Well, I think, like I said, Kurt's the guy here just because I don't think they were looking to have a big long match here. I think All the focus was going to be on the main event, on Hogan and Rodman. And so I think this was just kind of, okay, he's the champion now. Let's get him a match. Kurt's a good guy to work with. We can make it short. I think it makes sense. I think if you do it with someone else, you're going to take focus off of this next match, which I don't think they wanted to do.
I don't even really think that who else was available to really, as far as, because he was pretty much face here. Who else was available to face him as a heel?
I mean, I don't know if Randy Savage was a face now or not. Probably was.
Right.
I don't know.
You have DDP in the main event in this feud with Hogan and Rodman. So DDP's out.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, well, he'd get a push later on, but it's just like, okay, Hogan's, you know, tied up with that. DDP's tied up with that. I don't know who else you could really put into that role unless you put a Nash in it, but he's being cheered as part of the Wolfpack. So it's like, oh, what the fuck are we going to do? You got to turn
Blair's gone. This is for having their little squabble.
Sure. But let's talk about this main event. We got Hogan and Rodman taking on DDP and Karl Malone. You know, we saw before where you had Rodman in the main event last time. And man, I just don't get it. I get where it's a draw. And I think Malone and Rodman were a hell of a lot better than people really gave him credit for.
Yeah.
The Dennis, in ring wise.
Dennis specifically, I always felt like did really well in the ring for having very little training. And considering his trainer was probably Hollywood Hogan, who I wouldn't think is the best trainer in the world, but maybe he just told him to say his prayers and take his vitamins. And that's what made him a good wrestler. You think?
Well, yeah, but was Rodman with Carmen Electra at this point?
Maybe. I don't know. Who knows? He was with so many different ones around this time. Madonna, Carmen Electra. I think it was Carmen Electra, though.
I'm pretty sure because I can't remember who else he was with at this time. I don't think he was. This is because 98. Was this when he was, you know, skipping practice for the Bulls to get to these events? I just, looking back at it now, it doesn't
skipping
really
practice during the finals.
Oh, right. And it's just like, what the fuck, man? I'm like, you're in the NBA finals. And it went to show you how over Dennis Rodman was. Across the world. And to this day, they look back on it. And you see, whenever he's talked about, whether it be ESPN, any of these sports networks, it always has that time frame here in 97, 98. He was part of the NWO. They always make a point to do that.
You know how they should have ended this match? Okay, so Malone's in trouble. Looks like he's going to get beat. John Stockton comes out of the crowd and hits Rodman with a chair. Malone wins. One more assist from John Stockton.
Without question. That would have probably gotten over even more. You know, because I think we're in San Diego, the Cox Arena. So,
hey, Stockton played at Pepperdine.
Yeah, there you go. He's
Gonzaga. So he's a California guy.
So he's a California guy, and Utah is fairly close to California. So, you know, that would have been freaking fantastic. Or get like Jeff Novacek to come out too. And
God, get the whole. Yeah.
What did I say?
Jeff Novacek. I think that's sounds like
Novacek. Novacek. Oh, Novacek.
Hornacek.
Then Jay Novacek. He was a tight end for the Cowboys. Him too. Why not? Bring them all out.
Jeff Hornacek could shoot.
Oh, fuck yeah. Well, I think it was like one of the best free throw shooters in the league this time. But overall, did you think that the Dice Disciple really should have been out here, though?
It was weird that he come out and did he do a stunner? Is that his move?
Like something the apocalypse, like that. Hit them it was the apocalypse something. It's just like, shut up, just go away.
Yeah, I don't ever want to see the disciple. So, but yeah, this was definitely disciple prime time period. The best thing was once it's all over, Hogan and Rodman win. Tony tells Matt Schiavone happy birthday at the end of the show. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
Right at the end as he's signing off, he said,
happy I saw that too. Yeah. So Matt gets a big, shout out from his dad though.
Yeah. Fuck off, Chris Schiavone. You don't get a birthday shout out on a pay-per-view.
So what do you think?
Sorry, Lori. Matt,
who's the better Schiavone? Who's the best Schiavone in your opinion?
Lori Schiavone.
Well, without
it's
question.
Not even close.
Well, but where would you rank Lois in there? Is she like runner up?
Well, yeah, I would probably go Lois two, and then Bug three.
Where's Chewy? I like Chewy. Chewy's the man.
I think Chewy. He's there still.
Yeah.
Probably Bug, then Chewy, then Matt, then Chris, and then Tony would be last. Yeah.
Well, Tony would have to be last, right? Because he'd have to put. But the thing is, my opinion though, he would probably say, "I want to be last so I can put everybody else over." He would spin it some way to make him look good.
Potentially. Well, it's hard to do that, especially with that fucking mullet he's got off wearing out there on AEW.
Get a freaking haircut. Seriously? Am I the only one that obviously I'm not the only one that sees it.
Tony, my mom has her own hair salon. I'll have her cut your hair for fucking free, you cheap bastard.
Or here's a thought. We can book it for Top Guy Weekend. Everybody can take a pair of scissors and cut a strand of Tony's hair.
We get to take it home with us.
And you get like to take
Lincoln's,
it home.
Hair.
Yeah, exactly. You could get it pressed in one of those. What the hell? You use it for for like when you do your own, you butcher your own meat or something. The air sealer.
Well, I have seen Tony give away a bag of dog hair. I've never seen him give away his own hair, but you never know. There's first time for everything.
There's always a first time for everything. And why don't we bring in Elijah right now to hit the button?
Let's get musical. Let me hear your body talk.
Hey, Justin, so while you were out, we actually got up to 87 themes on our Wrestling with Music. Something that we're really looking forward to getting to 100. So we got four more this week. And without further ado, what did you pick to add to this week?
Well, this song has been, I can't believe we went this long and played it.
Yeah.
It is an iconic one. I think everyone knows it as soon as it starts. So let's hear it.
What are the odds of little slapdick Justin Davis dancing around his parents' living room in his tighty whities at 8 years old when he listened to that music?
Very high. Very, very high.
What are the odds of a older slapdick Justin Davis dancing in his boxer shorts current day to that music?
It depends on the night.
And how many beers are you having in your system, right?
That's just I don't know. I love that song. I've always loved that song.
Sure.
Fits the character perfect. Jim Johnston, this is probably his piece de resistance of his songs, I would say.
Sure.
That he wrote. So to me, that thing goes in the top five easy. I would put it over. I might put it at one. That's how much I like
it. I wouldn't go that far. I honestly,
you got to think about this. Every, like, the first eight WrestleManias ended with this song playing. I'm just saying. I would put it probably in that, in front of the NWO.
Oh no, that's where I was gonna go. I was gonna put it at three. I could even go as high as two.
Yeah.
But the thing is, though, shit, I can't even put it at like two and a half. You know what I mean?
Let's put it at three.
Yeah. I just, I can't.
I could put it two, but I like Randy Savage better than I like Hulk Hogan, so he can go fuck off. We're going to leave. Let Savage be better than Hogan at something, goddammit. He's always had to play second fiddle to Hogan all his life, so now we're going to put Hogan behind him.
Well, without question. it's got to be at this point. So, my pick this week, what about Raven? What about Raven? Quote the Raven, nevermore. Down. So
I'll tell you what, that even flow DDT looks like it would hurt. I mean, because you can't flatten out like you would with Jake's DDT.
Right.
Because this one kind of picks you up and rolls you into it. And it looks like a lot of those guys just stick in there head first on that thing.
But he made it look so goddamn good though.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think at this time, this music was iconic for this time because you had so many different, you know, music. This was original. This was kind of similar to that Nirvana.
Yeah, music. It kind of started out kind of sounding a little Nirvana-y.
And I dug it.
Yeah, it's a brooding song. It's good for the character. I still like the one with the crows squawking a little better, but I don't know. I still don't like it as much as I would. I couldn't put it in front of Nakamura, I don't think. Because we're talking about like in the 30s here, folks. I'm thinking.
I would put him right underneath RVD and above Carlito at 35.
Okay.
And my opinion, you could go as high, and honestly, you could probably go as high as 28 and kick McMahon out of it. But legitimately, most people won't recognize that unless you're a diehard WCW fan.
Yeah.
And I'm like I said, RVD was kind of iconic for that time frame. So I think 35 is the best spot for him, I believe. So we'll put him at 35. And then I can't believe it. This is true. But Devin Dowling, fucking hell. I'm just going to hit it. I don't know. We'll just hit it.
You look so good to me.
You're my baby.
Ooh, you're my baby. My baby.
I'm cutting that out. I can't listen to it anymore.
You hear that part where he just went, That's what Devin Dowling is going to sound like when I see him next time, because I'm going to kick him right in the nuts for making me listen to that.
Well, of course. So what are the odds of that is the song that is playing his wedding night to Erica? And what are the odds that he's wearing one of those short, short white robes as he enters the hotel room?
That song has to go into the 80s. It has to be at the end of the list. Now, does it go all the way to the end is the question.
I would put it at... It's not worse than disco.
Oh, yeah, it is. I can dance with disco song. I ain't dancing to that.
How about right under Kidman at 81? Right above Saturn.
Okay.
That good or?
Yeah.
And that's just out of spite for fucking Devin Dowling. It's got
to listen to that shit. If you're not going to come with anything better, Devin Dowling, stay home. Stay home and watch some old 49ers losses.
Well, that's going to happen quite a bit, quite often this season.
Have they traded Jimmy G yet?
No, they're talking about Seattle's in the running.
I heard that.
Which it makes sense. Who is he? Who's their quarterback? Even the one now that Wilson's gone, I didn't even see that.
They got. I think whoever Denver's quarterback was, it wasn't worth a shit.
So that's gonna end real well for them.
Yeah.
Just trade within the fucking division. Why not? So our final addition this week is from our buddy Drew, and I know this is probably gonna make at least fucking Eddie Prather and Poundwater Dave happy, at least. It's a Rock and Roll Express. Yeah, we'll just do that.
I think that's worse than the Billy and Chuck. Is that supposed to be a rock and roll song?
I think.
Wow.
And that's the one that they're known of. They had two different ones because I looked it up on YouTube and I had to look at it for a while. And I'm like, the other one was terrible. Even worse. The other one was even worse than this one. Thank God it didn't reflect that they're working in the ring. They're working in the ring was better than the fucking song.
I'm going to say this right now. I'd rather listen to American Man, Hogan's WCW song, than that.
Really?
Yes. You know, at least he's an American man. At least I can kind of get into that. I ain't getting into that at all.
So how about right there?
That's fine.
Right under Hogan WCW at 90.
There you go, Eddie. That's where your old school NWA songs are going on the list, Eddie Prather.
So you can DM Justin at JD2040 and shit all over him and make fun of him and make fun of his salmon colored shirt and whatever. That's salmon colored, right?
I think it's red.
Or what the hell? Know. Curly. Maybe. That's the skateboarding shirt, right?
Oh yeah, you know we're big into skateboarding here in West Virginia.
Well, because you have all the hills, that's why. Because it's easy. You don't even have to do the whole.
I think my French bulldog has a better chance of staying on a skateboard than I do.
Oh man, there you go. There's another thing for Top Guy Week and we can book. Who can stay on the skateboard the longest? Well, Justin Davis or Eddie Prather?
If it's after about 7 o'clock at night, it won't be me. I can promise you that.
Oh, come on. Come on. 7 o'clock. You're being generous. Probably like 5 o'clock. Let's come on. Fuck. Cause happy hour starts at 5 o'clock for you.
That's true. Me and Bischoff Me and Bischoff probably be bellied up at the bar about 4:30 in the afternoon.
Jesus Christ. Well, yeah, but he's on that mountain time. You're on that East Coast time, so you got to get a happy medium between the two of you. But yeah, so there's our there's our rankings this week. We're up to 91, so hopefully, probably very, very soon, by Top Guy weekend, we should probably have our top 100. And what we'll probably end up doing is a bonus episode. You don't have to pay for it here, folks. We're going to have a round table. I'm still working on the fine details as far as who we're going to have on. Obviously it'd be the two of us. We'll probably have Pound Water on, and then probably one other person to have kind of a younger view on things. We should say
not Money Mike.
That's too young though.
And so, too dumb.
Well, that too. But he's a college professor now. So who's really the dumb ones at this point, right, Justin? We play.
I just feel terrible for those students at St. Bonaventure, but go ahead.
Well, they do have a good basketball program, at least.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm trying to kind of polish off that a little bit and trying to make it sound a little bit better, but no, Mike knows we're kidding. So we'll have to talk off air on who the fourth's going to be, but we'll let you guys know.
Who's the fourth person?
Who's the fourth man? Who's the fourth man in the ring? Yeah. But next week, Justin, we are going to be going over, we're going to continue it. Of the Bash at the Beach 99. So we're going to have, Jesus Christ. You think that this fucking pay-per-view is bad. We'll wait till next week. it's going to be, it'll be interesting. We'll say that much, but until then, head over to castbuy.com/ringside rant. All our platforms are right there. So big thanks to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Network. The full press coverage as well as Wrestling with John for having us on your networks. Shout out to JD Hoop for the great graphics. He's making big strides, man. Did you end up seeing his designs for the Street Profits at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view? He designed that gear.
And I was watching that pay-per-view for some reason. I don't know why I did, but I just had turned it on and I saw them come out though, and I thought, you know what, those are kind of cool. And then I later found out that JD did it. So congrats on that.
Yeah. So big props to him. He's doing a lot of great work for both us here as well as Brian's show as well. So big thanks to him. So like I said, head over to castbuy.com. All our platforms are there. The merchandise is there as well. But Justin, what do you got for the to close up shop for this episode?
Oh, not much. As you said, I'm ready for some Bengals training camp here starting soon. It's getting that time where start focusing on some NFL. I'm ready to roll with it. Who day, motherfuckers?
Or as close to the NFL as we can get with the fucking Cincinnati Bengals. So, it is what it is. But
you're wearing the orange and black today, baby.
Well, yeah, but I'm wearing the show shirt. Come on, man. I know I'm trying to kind of shoot myself in the foot at this point, but fuck. But guys, thank you so much for tuning in this week. We'll see you right back here in Ranters Nation next week.